IsraelScene.com.
You're listening to IsraelScene.com. I'm Steve.
And this is Yoram with a little frog in his throat.
Or I came across a piece that we had done a couple of years ago that was never completed, which I thought was, wow. And after listening, and I thought, man, this is really appropriate. We're moving into this week's Torah portion called Lech Lecha, Go Out. Abraham goes out from his past and into a present and new future. Goes actually out into back into himself for a revelation. I interviewed you on your understanding of where the Jewish people were or are at this moment in time and where you see us going and what our future, what you see for our future, being in Eretz Israel, being in Israel, and as individuals and as a community. And I thought, wow, after listening to this, it actually blew my mind. I said, this is so appropriate for this moment in time. So let's hear it now. So Yoram, share with us about Jewish people and what we're all about.
I believe that the Jewish people are essentially a single entity or being, which is the being of the Mashiach, the Messiah. And that term Messiah, I think, translates in English into the word evolution. In other words, Mashiach is a process of becoming rather than an instantaneous arrival of an individual or of an influence and everything changes like, you know, all of a sudden. I think this is the process that we, the human community, has been undergoing since we left the trees, since we began walking upright on two legs, and that there is a potential destiny in this process. And that destiny is for us to become more and more like the divine, to assume more and more of the characteristics of the divine, which are characteristics of mercy and compassion, and creativity and love, while not denying our animal natures, but by placing our animal natures in another balanced relationship. And in that sense, we are a kind of sayeret, the commando unit, the scouting unit that goes first in developing and exploring the processes needed to bring this about in the human community, the spiritual evolution. We were the ones who began and developed this idea of the single divine, that the divinity, that reality is based on a singularity, and that all of us are part, equal parts of this singularity. And that in order to develop ourselves, there are certain principles, there are certain processes that we need to undergo. And these processes affect our intellect and they affect our spiritual. And many people really resent that the imposition of those things on the unbridled practice of their spiritual natures, which I think is part of the reason for Jew hatred, is that we've gone out and we've made these demands.
What demands actually have we made?
Well, we make demands that people practice compassion, that they practice certain cyclical events, which also separate us from the animals.
Why are we such an itch to the Muslims and the Christians?
Well, there was a one of us, or at least there's a myth about a one of us, called Abraham, and he lived in a time when people practiced human sacrifice in order to, had arrived, had achieved the status of practicing human sacrifice. Obviously, animals don't sacrifice one another for any kind of a sake or a purpose. And he had this idea that everything was really a part of one thing. There was a oneness to existence, where everybody around him thought that existence was broken up in bits and pieces. Different gods with all kinds of capricious and very human qualities, liking to, you know, mess around and liking to fighting with each other and doing things that really human beings do one to the other. And he had this idea, and this idea was so powerful, and it was so profound. There was such a deep, deep truth to it that we continue to live this truth, or attempting to live this truth, and we're arrogant enough to think that this is such a deep truth that we're obligated to share it. with other people. Now, I think our instinct was to share it as you share, you know, you say to somebody, would you like a glass of water? And if they say yes, you give them the glass of water. And they say no, that's okay too. But the people who came after us took this on as a very militant assignment and insisted that the people that they brought under their wings follow these rules, and the people resented it because, you know, all of us rather prefer to be free than to be limited and dictated to. And there lies, I think, some of the foundations of Jew hatred, because many of the people realize that whether it's Christianity or Islam, that the foundation is Judaism. And the people who are responsible for interfering in their lives really are the Jews. So there's a constant desire to get rid of us, because then there'll be peace and quiet, and everybody can have a party and not be inhibited in their sexual behavior and their alcohol consumption and so on and so forth. And people resent this imposition that we are responsible for. And it's about our refinement as beings from our total and complete animal nature towards a more developed divine nature, which involves, as I said, compassion and pity and creativity and love, which are not necessarily, in some ways I think that these are things that are counterintuitive. Most animals just are. There's no... You know, they don't think about this, and they don't discuss it, and they don't think that what they're doing is right or what they're doing is wrong. Most animals just are. And when we enter into this intellectual idea space, we begin to confuse ourselves. And we know, you know, at the time that this form of Judaism was imposed on Europe, on the Roman Empire, it wasn't a natural development of the peoples of that area. It was an imposed system, and it came from the Hebrews, and it was imposed under a different name, but nevertheless it was an imposition. It wasn't a natural development on the part of the people who lived there, and I think it's always felt artificial. And now, after World War II particularly, when they have a chance to get out from under it, that's part of what's going on in Europe, is people are taking advantage of the freedom not to be religious, not to go to church, and so on and so forth. I remember being in Italy when they were voting to take away some of the privileges of the church in the form of marriage and divorce. I was in Greece when the same process was going on. And of course, we here in Israel still live with that, where the church, the religious authorities have control over that part of our lives. And many of us resent it, and rightly so. I think another element that's going on in this Messiah complex is the one that we read of in the New Testament Gospels. There it's said in individual terms. I said it in national terms. I see us being denied and expelled from the human community as a setup for the eventual, in the Gospels, of course, it's the eventual crucifixion, murder of the Messiah character. And in this context, it's the eventual, evidently, it seems to me evident that there's an attack, an assault being planned, consciously or otherwise, by certain elements of the human community on us, while the other elements of the community are being prepped to watch passively as we get our comeuppance. And I think that's part of what we see going on, part of the denial of the humanity of the Jewish people and of the state of Israel, and the demonization of the state of Israel and the Jewish people as the sons of dogs and apes and so on and so forth. This is an ongoing process, and from my point of view, it only strengthens my idea that we are the Messiah people, the Messiah body. Now, you know, in order to... if when I'm not well, when I'm sick, my instinct is to go and rest so that my body can focus all of its energies on healing itself, which I think is the natural impulse of the body. And I think that we as a people, as a Mashiach body even, are sick, are wounded, are covered in various pathologies. And what we have coming to us is a period of rest, of R&R, of rest, of no longer having to be worried and paranoid and afraid of being attacked and of being abused, so that we can heal ourselves of the experiences of the last several thousand years in which we have been attacked and abused, and in which we have lost a great deal of our national bodily fluids, which, in my way of thinking, is our people. It's part of our vitality, and over the last few thousand years, we've lost a large percentage of our vitality, of our people. And what we really need, what we really have coming to us now, would be a period of rest, where we can heal ourselves so that we can once again engage in the world in an honest and in an objective way. And that's not what we're getting. That's not what we've gotten. And that's one of the reasons, I think, that we deal with the world from a very distorted point of view. We have a very hard time really understanding the realities which are around us and the proper way in which to react and relate to them. And
can you give an example of that?
Well, the result is how we deal with the Palestinians, and how we've made, and the decisions we've made. The decision to settle all these civilians in Judea and Samaria, I think, was a part of our pathology, and part of our pathology sends us into trying to recreate the past, and being willing to sacrifice to a degree the future for the sake of the past. And the argument, of course, is, well, how can you give up the land, you know, wherever Abraham stood, or Moses stood, or King David stood?
Aside from that argument, in your opinion, unusual that a country who captures land in the course of a war, especially a war that was an aggressive war against, and wants then to inhabit it for whatever reasons, aside from the ideological reasons that some Jews want to occupy it, or religious reasons, what's so unusual about that?
No, the point is that it's not unusual. That is the way of the world. And every other instance in which this occurs, the world accepts it. But where we live, and our karma, and our way, and the way we do it, and everything that's around it, is not in the natural way. So it's not accepted. Partly because of the Jew hatred that's endemic in large parts of the planetary community. And we have to be aware of that, and we have to work, we have to function with that knowledge. And if we ignore that because this is where King David stood, then we end up paying a high price. We end up paying a high price, both in the sense that what we do to others ultimately hurts us. And we saw that, you know, Goldie Mayer's statement about her anger towards the Arabs, not only because the Arabs kill us, but because they force us to kill them. And then in this last period, when we saw the various groups of combat soldiers refusing to serve in the territories, that was the reason they refused to serve in the territories. It wasn't that they were afraid of being killed, which is how Arafat saw it. It was that they felt uncomfortable. They felt bad. They felt that they could not continue to participate and to take actions which were morally offensive to them. And you see very little of that. I mean, England went all the way to the Falkland Islands, how many thousands of miles, to fight against people, to kill and be killed over, you know, these islands in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean, I don't know how many thousands of miles away from the English homeland, which had no threat whatsoever on the English. And people saw that and people accepted it. I mean, that was the natural way of the world. And one of the interesting ironies, by the way, is that the people who claim that we are more and better and special because we're Jews then say just what you said. So everybody else would hold this territory. Why shouldn't we? In other words, we are like everybody else. We should be able to behave like everybody else, but we can't because there's some element of us that's special. While on the other hand, people who say we're not special, the left, says that we are not special. We are like everybody else, but our behavior has to be like no one else's. So this is part of the dichotomy that we experience as a community. And it's confusing, and we don't have the circumstances under which we can explore this in peace and quiet.
Really, the left and the right speak from the same source, except their perspective may be slightly different in the interpretation. Yet both of them see us as unique and different.
Exactly.
So is there a place where we are in fact unique and different that everybody can agree upon? Where is this common source?
that's part of our true challenge here, because we, in addition to the other elements, because we came from the Muslim world and the Christian world, and we came from the world of the 60s of the hippies and so on in America, and we came from all these different places, and we came from the experience of the Holocaust, and we came from the experience, and when I say the 60s, that the 60s were a result of the experience of living in an affluent society where we had basically no enemies, not as Americans and not as Jews. And the world was an open book to us, and we could afford to be crazy and totally free and demand freedom and preach freedom because there was we experienced no limitations. So all of these different parts of us, the challenge is for all those different parts of us being here now to work out a synthesis. And that's one of the things for which we need some peace and quiet, because it's very hard to work out what would have to be a sensitive synthesis when there's this incredible amount of insensitivity, violence, and anger directed towards us.